Good evening. Mammoth effort from everybody. So well done. I'm Giselle. I too will acknowledge the traditional landowners. This land was never ceded. It was taken by force in an act of genocide, and it must always be central to our organising that we acknowledge First Nations people, their legacy, their wisdom, their spirit. I am the secretary of the CPSU, and I've been in the movement for 25 years, and over the last 2 years in particular, amongst the left, the question is persistently raised, where are the unions? And sometimes that question comes out in lots of different and interesting ways, including how easy was it for the unions to get out, and they didn't. So today I've called my talk, How Easy Is It for Unions to Mobilise Against Racism? And the main answer is it's not very easy. And I want to start from a place of agreement. Racism is real. The far right organising in public is real. And for many people, especially First Nations people and migrant communities and people who are visibly of different races, that threat feels immediate and personal. So I get it. When people ask, where are the unions? The question isn't coming out of nowhere. But I do want to shift how we think about the answer, because there is an assumption sitting underneath that question. And the assumption is that unions are like advocacy organisations, that they can decide on a position, send out a message, and thousands of people will show up. That is not what unions are. Unions are made up of workers, hundreds, thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of people, people with different experiences, different levels of engagement, different political views. You don't get to choose who you're in a union with. Racists can and are members of unions. What brings people together in a union is their shared material interests. And as the saying goes, we are stronger together. We need to convince workers that that stronger together transcends race, sex, sexual orientation, religion, and any other weapon used to divide workers. All the things that we heard on the panel today about how systemic oppression actually works. It works on people to behave in ways to other people. That is a reality of the manifestation of systemic oppression. Trotsky argued that the labour movement must defend workers as they are, not as we wish them to be. So transformation happens through participation, not as a precondition. We can't expect workers to come to the movement fully formed with revolutionary politics. That kind of solidarity is learnt and developed in struggle. Lenin was blunt about it. Revolutionary politics does not begin with perfect people. It begins with real people, shaped by real conditions. All of the things that the panel has talked about, what Gabriella Di Vietri spoke about in terms of how the system operates on us. And workers have contradictory beliefs, fears, prejudices and loyalties. If politics required moral consistency before participation, mass movements would never form. Workers are people who are dealing with job insecurity, workload issues, family pressure, and everything that comes with that. So the question isn't, why aren't the unions mobilising? The real question is, how do you organise large groups of ordinary workers to act together on an issue that is political, contested, and often uncomfortable? And the answer is, it's not easy. It takes time. It takes conversations, arguments and persuasion. It takes trust. And it takes organization. Because collective action does not happen just because something is important. It happens when people are organized enough and confident enough to act together. And that is the part that often gets missed. Most unions today are not structured for rapid mobilization. They are structured around representation, around resolving disputes, around bargaining. That work is important because it protects working people, but it does not automatically build the kind of collective power that can bring people into the streets at scale. So yes, unions have work to do, but the work is not just as simple as go mobilise your members. The work is rebuilding the capacity of members to act together. And that means building strong delegate networks. It means having political conversations in the workplace. It means developing leadership across the membership, not just at the top. Because without that, any call to mobilise sits on top of a very thin base. And I think we also need to be clear about something else. Racism is not only something that non-unions or non-unionists experience. It shows up at work too. It shows up in who gets hired, who gets promoted, whose voice is taken seriously, who is labelled difficult in the workplace, in who carries the heaviest load. So I agree, if unions are serious about anti-racism, that's the work that we must do, and that's the work that must happen. And that work is not visible all the time because we're not out on the street. It is slower, it is ongoing, and it requires members to be involved. Which brings me to the most important point. Unions are not separate from the people in this room. We are not an external force that can act independently of our members. They are collective organisations, and our strength depends on how organised the members are. So when we ask, why didn't the unions mobilise, we also need to ask, how organised are the workers right now? How connected are they to each other? How confident are they to take collective action on difficult political questions? Because if that foundation is weak, then mobilisation will be limited. Not because people don't care, but because the organisation to support that action has not yet been built. So yes, we should expect unions to stand against racism, absolutely. But if we want unions to be capable of mass mobilisation, then the task is bigger than calling for action. The task is building the kind of union where that action is possible. Where members are active, where leadership is shared, where solidarity is real and not just words. And this is not quick work. It is necessary work, because if we want a society that can push back against racism, we need organised workers. And if we want organised workers, we need strong, democratic, member-led unions. That is the work in front of us. Thank you.